Well, good morning. I'm real excited about this talk. If everybody would please get out their programs, or if I'll move, you can look up the prayer we're going to do together this morning. Give me a couple minutes to get that out. Okay. In name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, good morning. My name is Margaret Hampton, and I'm with the Diocese of Boise. And I was really excited when I heard about this topic, leveraging resources for small dioceses created big impacts. From the wonderful neighbor state for us, Diocese of Great Falls Billings, also a mission diocese like us. How many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you guys are from mission dioceses? Okay. Well, I love that you're addressing this topic, and it's from a mission diocese perspective. But I won't keep too much time here because I want to introduce our wonderful guests here who are willing to share their expertise. We have with us Bishop Jeffrey Fleming, Bishop of the Diocese of Great Falls Billings. And we have Thomas Dutterwick, he's the Director of Communications, and we have Becky Pugh, Director of Mission Advancement. Thank you for being willing to share your expertise. We appreciate you.
Again, good morning. We're so excited to be here and so happy that so many of you guys are here today. So we're going to be talking about how as a small diocese, we're big geographically. We have 94,000 square miles. However, we have about 33,000 Catholics. So we're not big from a sense of the number of people. We're big geographically. And one of the things that I was challenged with when I came to the diocese 3 years ago is to help start making an impact in a different way. And so today we want to share that through three ways to leverage your resources. And that would include rethinking how you're using your existing resources, using and maximizing the resources you already have, and then mining for new resources, being sure to look in unexpected places. So when you're looking at the situation, I'm encouraging you to look with fresh eyes, right? The three steps that I'm going to talk about are reframing the challenges, examining where you are, and getting excited about the work that comes with change. Now, some people would think, well, don't you need to examine first? But I'm going to actually challenge you to reframe before you examine. So reframe the challenges. We're a small diocese. And a lot of people said, well, there's not a lot you can do as a small diocese. However, as a small diocese, we have more access to our bishop. We have less people. And so those relationships that we get to form often are much closer and much more personal. I went to a movie in another town, and people were coming up and asking me if I was seeing his only son because they knew I worked for the diocese, and I was just a little freaked out because it wasn't even my hometown. I think I get recognized more often in the small towns of Montana than I do within Great Falls itself. In a small community, often the community revolves around the church. And so we're not just getting to know the Catholics of our diocese. We're getting to know everybody within our diocese. And so as you reframe some of those challenges and look at them as opportunities, then you can start to examine, okay, so now where are we at? Now that we're looking at this from a positive point of view, where are we at and what are we going to do to move forward? And so some of the places that we started looking at is, what does our website look like? What is our social media reach? How else can we reach out to people? Are people using email? Are they accepting phone calls? Is it sending mail to their homes? And really start taking a look at where we were at. And then we needed to get excited. How you look at things changes everything. When I started 3 years ago, I dreaded the appeal. I came in and they're like, you got to raise $1.7 million. By the way, we've never done it, but we need you to do that this year. And I had only done an appeal before for about $20,000. And so I was just like, what am I going to do? I was dreading it. It's now the most loved part of my job. I absolutely love it. And so when I came in, I was a new person taking on a new look at our campaign and a whole new approach. So we used to have what we called the Care and Share campaign. And I'm going to share a little bit of this background just because we're going to talk about all of these things through the story of our appeal. But I want to just emphasize that today we're talking about stewardship as a whole, not just about development, not just about making money, but about stewardship and how do we spread the good word of Jesus across eastern Montana. And so I was left with this challenge of, we had Care and Share, which was an assessment-based campaign, meaning the churches were told, you have to raise this much money. Nobody understood the formula or how it got figured out. They just knew that they got an amount assigned to them. If they didn't raise that much money, then the church had to pay the difference. Many of them had not been paying the difference and had a big bill for Care and Share. And all of a sudden, we wanted to make a change. Now, they had done a lot of work prior to me coming. They had a 3-year plan, and I came and sat down with our previous bishop, Bishop Orful, and I said, you know, I think we just need to rip off the Band-Aid. Let's just do it. And so we changed over to what is now called the annual Catholic appeal. There are no longer assessments being placed. We are just trusting the people of God to donate what they can donate, and that we still are working towards $1.7 million. There are lots of seats, so you guys can come up. There are seats throughout. And there are seats up front as well. And so we went to work, and I got excited about it. And in our old appeal, we would have a theme. It was a theme to raise money. With the new appeal, we wanted to pick a theme that was going to actually be our message throughout the year. We wanted to actually take this from just being about money to really teaching people what it is that the diocese does. In the past, nobody knew what the money for Care and Share went to. There was no transparency. And now we're continuing each year to increase that transparency, to better communicate, which is what leads us to the next part. Is I looked at Thomas in my first appeal, who was our director of evangelization at the time, and I said, hey, Thomas, what do you think? Can we do a video?
Here's the llama portion of our presentation for those of you who read the description. So Becky comes to me and she says, hey, we're making this transition from the appeal base or the assessment based to a true authentic appeal. And we want to convey that message through a video. Because of course, what better way to engage in our own voice instead of having a priest, no offense priests in the room, but instead of having a priest stand up there and say, the diocese wants some more money. We wanted to express that through our own voice, through a video. And Becky says, you got a week to do it. Without any equipment, without any expertise, without any script, without anything, you've got a week to come up with a video. And so she came to me because I've got a bachelor's degree in radio and television communications. So, all right, great. What equipment do we have? I've got a little Canon video camera about this size. That's like one of those little home that you could get at Walmart. You used to be able to get at Walmart. I don't know that you can't even buy them anymore. And that was it. That was the extent of the equipment. And so we went to Bishop. Warfel at the time and said, hey, we want to do a video. And he says, great, I can't memorize a script. Okay, how do we put together a way that you can do this and be successful? So Becky writes a script. I print it out on 11 by 17 sheets of paper in the largest font that I possibly can and pin it to a bulletin board that sits next to the camera on its tripod. And that was how we started. And we ended up, oh, one final piece. Told the bishop, look, this is going out to the entire diocese. We need you to look sharp. I mean, Bishop Fleming looks sharp, doesn't he? In his suit and his nice. Here we go.
Here in this diocese, I've been here for a little over 13 years, and it's been a joy to serve you in this diocese. I will still be making an appeal, let there be no mistake about that. But it will be made in a new way under a new name. The new name is Annual Catholic Appeal. Maybe it's not a catchy name, but it does reflect that the new approach will be a true appeal. There is, however, a diocesan goal for this year's annual Catholic appeal. The amount is $1.7 million. I know that's a lot of money, but it provides support for many services. The gifts received toward this goal will be used to fund needed diocesan services, structures, and ministries. Because I believe in the Diocese of Great Falls Billings and have witnessed personally the way parishioners have been served by the priests, deacons, religious, and lay ministers here in the diocese, I will make the first pledge of anyone in the diocese.
Awkward.
I pray that you will join me in supporting the diocese annual Catholic appeal. Know that you remain in my prayers. God bless you.
Doesn't that just energize you to want to give to the new appeal? It's fantastic, isn't it? Mind you, the last time, prior to this video, the last time I had made a video, it was still reel to reel. Mini VR to mini VR in an editing room. So I had no idea what I was doing, and this unfortunately went out to the entire diocese.
He says, unfortunately. We loved that video. We were proud of that video. It still gives me a little bit of goosebumps to see that video. I was so excited. I could not wait for everybody to see that video. I was a little miffed by the llama sweater. I had two conversations with him, one in advance saying, hey, make sure to wear your suit. And then the morning of, I said, hey, Bishop, you did bring your suit jacket, right? And he's like, I'm proud of this llama sweater. In the end, the llama sweater worked for us. People thought that we had actually put him in the llama sweater on purpose to make him more approachable and more endearing. Because while this video to Thomas, he cringes every time he watches it. And he starts pointing out all the things that were wrong. We loved it. We were proud. We didn't know what we didn't know. I didn't know what we could do. I knew that the previous video that we had was like 8-10 years previous to that. And I think we paid $15,000 to have somebody professionally do that. And I just refused. If I was going to go out and speak to these churches about giving money, I didn't want to spend $15,000 on a video, especially when we have one as great as that. Right? And you have to start somewhere. I thought we were really clever and creative in the bulletin board with, as a teleprompter. I thought it was great. Now I look at it and I see Bishop Warfel going like this and then like this. And you can see it in the video as he's reading it. But you have to start somewhere. And you have to work with what you have, not with what you wish you had, right? You've just got to start. And that might be one of the biggest messages today, is just get started. Use what you have. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Remember, look at, reframe those challenges and look at where you're at and then just get started.
Just a quick note, I'm a new bishop. Almost 2 years ago I was named coadjutor bishop of the Diocese of Great Falls Billings. Actually grew up in the Diocese of Great Falls Billings, but was a priest of the diocese next door in Helena for 30 years. The last 3 years of that I was in the chancery, and then March of 2022, I got named as pastor of my dream parish in Helena, Montana. 39 days later, I received a phone call that would change my life. So, we all are working with limited resources. I'm still trying to figure out what it means to be a bishop. So tips from me, get to know your bishop in a style. As I sent that to Thomas to add to the slides, I thought maybe I should have said also help the bishop get to know what his style is. I've had the pleasure of working with these two for the last 2 years in a variety of ways to do that. But get to know your bishop and his style, and help him learn his style if he's a new bishop, if he's an older bishop. Maybe still encourage him. And then you'll see in a moment, this is not, this has been a growing area for me, helping me become comfortable on screen or in front of a bunch of people. Parish, it's easy. Other places, not so much. I think we have a little video excerpt here.
The Diocese Human Resources helps to ensure that local priest parishes. In our diocese, we have 50 churches and 50 missions where Mass is regularly celebrated. Can you continue? That video is not getting inserted.
So that was our blooper reel that we, or excerpts from our blooper reel of our ACA video, 2023. Right after the llama sweater. So you'd see actually did move into the cathedral itself rather than the side chapel, which the previous one was in. And we also upgraded equipment. So it's been a venture. I still am not as comfortable in front of a camera, but with these two, it helps a lot. So I'm going to turn the mic back to you, Becky, it looks like.
So you need money, though, right? Like, that's why everybody's here, wondering if we're going to give you those really key tips to how to make more money and use more money. The biggest thing right now is to maximize the money that you already have. You want to look at your current funding and your current funders. So we started digging in and just trying to explore some new opportunities. One of the things that we realized is that we were doing a special collections, the Catholic Communications Campaign. Are you guys all familiar with that? Do you know that you get to keep 50% of that to use for your communications? Well, we had not been doing that. We had it all sitting there. And so then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, Thomas, we can get a camera. We could get some microphones. Like, what do you want to get? Let's go shopping. And so, it's looking at what is that current funding that you already have and then looking at the current funders. Because you do have to kind of, Take a look at who is giving you funding and can you get creative with that? So getting creative would be the last part. The other thing is take advantage of the opportunities when they come up. We had somebody who previously had been a professional photographer, wasn't doing it anymore, and we just were talking to her. She's like, hey, would you guys like studio lighting? Yes. Yes, we would. Yes, please. We also, as we were filming the second video for the second year, Bishop Fleming was new. He was our coadjutor, and he had put his script onto his iPad and was using that as a teleprompter. And Bishop Orful is like, hey, this is really cool. And he looked at me and he goes, we need one of those. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I said, done. And I walked over into my office while they were filming and ordered a teleprompter. I wasn't going to give anybody a chance to change their mind or do anything like that. Now, we happen to have the advantage of a new bishop, a younger bishop who really is into technology, and so he's been very supportive of that. But sometimes you just have to get creative with the money that you already have. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. You can start small and start working your way up.
So I'm going to talk just a little bit about maximizing your equipment. You could replace equipment with maximize your communication, maximize your message, maximize your brand, maximize whatever you want to replace equipment with. That's what you can replace it with. I'm going to talk about equipment because that's the easiest way to conceptualize what we're talking about here. And it kind of ties the whole theme together that we started with a little teeny tiny camera. Now, along our faith journey or our journey of communication that we've been talking about, recall, we now have a professional camera because Bishop Fleming was ordained, and so I took the opportunity to buy a professional camera. What a great excuse that, hey, we need to get this thing out to the diocese, and it can't be on a purple-tinted handheld little video camera. You've got to overuse your message, overuse your equipment. And it feels like you're overusing it, but it actually means just use it. You never know, especially taking pictures or capturing video. You never know when you're going to need a specific image or a specific video clip, what's called B-roll. That's that background video that isn't really doing anything except for telling the story of the voiceover. You never know when you're going to need a shot of B-roll, a specific shot. I'm actually working on a project right now talking about the Jubilee year. Next year's a Jubilee year. And I'm the editor of our bi-monthly publication of the diocese. And I went on the front cover of that, one of the Jubilee doors out of Rome, of course. So I went to the three men in the diocese, or in the pastoral center, who've all been to Rome, and asked each of them, do you have any shots of the holy doors? No. Do you have any shots of the holy doors? No. Do you have any shots of the holy doors? No. All of you went to Rome and didn't take a single picture of the holy doors? So you never know when you're going to need that shot or that footage to tell a specific story, to communicate your message. And all of this, while it feels like it's a little heavy, this presentation's a little heavy on video and communication. The point of this is that you have to make your donors feel part of something. You have to tell the story, and you can't just rely on it on a single annual appeal video. You've got to be pushing it out in different ways in everyday life, celebrating what the diocese is doing on a regular basis, highlighting those major liturgical events, Chrism Mass, any ordinations that we might have. Those kind of things are very important to sharing the message, building a community, because just like you, the donors aren't going to open their checkbook until they feel part of something. You know that. And the only way to make them feel part of something is to actually build a community. And that's where you get creative with new production or new ministries. You've got to answer the following questions. what obvious needs are not being fulfilled in the diocese. I was born and raised in southern Indiana, beautiful part of the country. And I'm sorry for any of you who aren't from Indiana, because it is a beautiful place to be from. The Catholic culture of southwestern Indiana is strong. Our public schools, when I was a child, we didn't have a Catholic school in town, but our public school would stop at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. The Protestant children would watch a movie at public school while the Catholics walked across the parking lot to the Catholic RE center to have religious education while school was still in session. And then the bell would ring and we would walk back over to the public school and catch the bus home. The Catholic culture of our way of life was just every day. It just was embedded in us. When I moved to Montana, unfortunately, that's not the case. Unfortunately, in our rural parishes, sometimes they kind of even forget they're part of a diocese, that they're part of a larger church. They almost seem like they're Protestant churches out there on their own, right? And so that was one of the major needs that I saw that wasn't being fulfilled, that people in our most remote parishes, just to give you an idea, Becky said 94,000 square miles. I don't think that paints the picture quite right. From our pastoral center to the furthest away parish is a 7-hour drive. 7 hours. I would imagine most, if not all of you in this room, could be in a different state within 7 hours, right? We can't even get out of our state yet, obviously. So we had to build this community. And then we had to make sure, are we speaking the right language? I could sit there and push all kinds of stuff out on social media. But 95% of the people in those rural parishes aren't on social media, because they're farmers and ranchers and they don't do that kind of thing. So while we can do great production in social media, that's not reaching, we're not speaking the right language. So you have to make sure you're speaking the right language. And is it sustainable? One of my greatest frustrations whenever I was in parish ministry was, here comes the diocese again with another great idea that's going to last about 3 months. And then it's going to fizzle away. And so before you set out on a new ministry, a new way of building community, you have to ask the question, is it sustainable? Whatever you're doing, is it sustainable? If it's not sustainable, find a different way to do it before you even start, because you're just going to end up doing more damage. Because who wants to give funding to a organization that is constantly starting and stopping programs? Who wants to do that? None of us. We want to know that our funds are going to be used properly and to have a lasting impact, not somebody's whim of an idea. And then finally, if you get all the way through these questions, what's stopping you? What obstacles are in front of you that you need to overcome? But more importantly, the question is a little bit rhetorical. What's stopping you? Why aren't you doing ministry? Why aren't you building community? If you're just, if the people that we are ministering to only hear from the diocese when we want money, that really is a problem. Because that then sets in the mind, when Becky and I started going out into the diocese about 3 years ago after she got done with her vacation. She took a long vacation when she started at the diocese. She got sick, and I tease her. That it was quite all expenses. That's right, all expense paid. Once we started going out into the diocese, the first couple of times that we went out, that was the first reaction of the people. Why are you here? Nobody wanted to talk to you. And they were very suspicious. You're here spying for the bishop. Well, no, I'm not. So you have to get out there and build that community And you can't use any of your excuses. You certainly can't use distance as an excuse because we're not. And if we're not, you can't. You can't use not knowing how to use your telephone. You can't use any excuse to not build the community before you ask somebody for their pocketbook. Where are we going here? If my clicker will work. Oh, I know. I see why it's mad. So, one of the things we did, we went from llama sweaters, and our production has gotten so much better. And you've got to get creative. Going back, oh no, don't you start playing yet. Technology. Stop it. Here we go. Okay. So, speaking the right language and building community. That can look like a lot of different things. We started a program called Domestic Pilgrimages in our diocese, where it's simply people think that all of the holy sites are overseas in Europe. And we've got a lot of holy sites in the United States that we can get to by a bus. So I started loading up busfuls of people with the bishop and Becky and took them on tour across the country. And while we were only having about 30 to 50 people on those buses, we're engaging hundreds of other people through our media, our social media, back home, who are praying for us and building that community. We also did a video series that earned us a little ribbon on our name tag for overall stewardship. We're the award winners for overall stewardship this year for a series that I put together called At the Table that's still ongoing. And really all it is where I go throughout the diocese and sit down with people and talk about Catholicism in Eastern Montana. What are you doing? We've got men who are preparing to be ordained for deacons, and we sit down and talk to them. Who are you? What are you? What drew you to the diaconate? You live 50 miles away from the parish. What does being a deacon look like when you live 50 miles away from the parish and there's 4 feet of snow in the winter? What does that look like? And so just sitting down, having a conversation, it's an opportunity for evangelization and catechesis, but it's also building that community, connecting people through and through. And then I wanted to engage even the youngest people in our diocese to build community. And so I came up with this idea where we would have DREs submit questions from their children in their classes to the bishop. And the bishop would answer those questions on a weekly basis. Don't you be mad at me. Come on now. You were working. Thank you.
Why did Bishop Michael retire? Bishops, when they reach the age of 75, are asked to submit their resignations. And so Bishop Michael did, and the Pope accepted it. And he's ready to try new things, and he's staying really busy. I'm thankful for his ministry in the diocese as he continues to help us out. How'd you get your job? Well, as bishop, I got a call from the Pope's personal representative to our country. He called me and informed me that Pope Francis had named me the bishop of this diocese. So that's pretty much it. You get selected by the Pope. He is the one who names every bishop. And it wasn't anything I had hoped for or wished for or longed for, but when God calls, I said yes.
So that video does two things. It engages the youngest of us in our diocese. It also engages their parents who don't have the guts to ask the questions, right? The children have no problem asking the questions. And then the overarching thing, now all of a sudden the man with the pectoral cross when he shows up at my parish isn't so intimidating. Because I saw him on the video and he's just sitting there chatting with me. So once he shows up at the parish, I can go talk to him as the shepherd that he is to us, as the shepherd he should be. Unfortunately, our bishops and our clergy have become so separated from us at times. And we have to find a way to make them smell like the sheep, like the Pope has said, right? And we're starting to creep towards smelling like that sheep. But we're not quite there yet.
One thing I'm going to add that's not in our script here, but quickly. As I travel throughout the diocese, 94,000 square miles is daunting, even though I grew up in Montana. One of the things that just has kind of developed that is simple is just me carrying my little phone with me that's with me 24/7 is I take pictures of our parishes. And we came up with a tagline that now I'm using everywhere, "Where in the world is Bishop Jeff?" based on "Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?" And now every time I'm outside the parish taking a picture, "Is this for your Facebook post?" It is. So just something as simple as that. So, but ideas when you propose to your bishop. Let's see. I don't remember what we said. So build a relationship. Again, get to know your bishop. Let your bishop get to know him. You. I think that's the important thing is know each other. And don't present every option under the sun. Be selective. Select the top things you think and go with those. I don't want to see 50 different layouts of the annual Catholic Appeal poster. Give me a couple and we'll go from there. I may have ideas on some things or not. Becky can talk about that in a minute as we look to the field. But yeah, just, and don't be afraid to think outside the box. As I had sent this, I said this morning we should have said outside the field, and you'll know why I say that right now.
So mining for resources, same funder, different funding. Think about the funders that you have and what funding is available. I'm going to talk about Catholic Extension for a second. A lot of you are mission dioceses, so it probably will make sense to you. But they have funding for different things. You just have to sometimes look for them. Recently, they gave scholarships out for people to attend an LMU course on digital media arts for ministry. And so I went through that class. We had a Catholic leadership scholarship that went through Catholic Extension. Even just sometimes the way that we work the funding with Catholic Extension means that that's available. Catholic Home Missions often will send out money for different things, like for the Eucharistic revival. That involved communication. And so as you start looking at that money, just remember to take a look at your funders and see what other funding they might have, or tell them the story of what it is that you need and why you need it. And a lot of times your funders that are already funding you year after year might be supportive of that because they already know your story and they want to help get your story out. It's also often going to bring more funding back to them. So make sure that you're telling the story and that when you are talking about what you're doing, you're giving credit to those funders because it helps bring those donations back to the grantors that you have. Church and nonprofit. How many times do you look at something and you say, "Oh, I can't apply for it because it's not for churches," right? We applied for a Canva Pro gift. They give you 10 free subscriptions to Canva Pro, and Canva Pro is pretty amazing. We do everything with it. Well, they denied us as a church. When we reapplied as a nonprofit, guess what? We got approved. So those of you who are looking for a great software system, Canva Pro will give you 10 memberships for free as a nonprofit, not necessarily as a church. So make sure that when you're looking for funding that you don't get tied into that box of, "I can only look for things that are Catholic, Christian, or religion." Because as a nonprofit, you're doing a lot of other work. If you have a Catholic social services that's helping the homeless or feed the hungry, there's some money that's for that. And so you just got to get creative with it. We have a church that's in the middle of their capital campaign. One of the things I asked them, because they're building a new church, is would you have room to put a baby boutique there to work with Catholic Social Services and to potentially draw in more money to support that organization? So sometimes you just have to get creative and look outside of just looking at church.
When we're telling our story, we have to answer the question, who are you? Because while I'm up here telling you all of the stories of the Diocese of Great Falls Billings, you don't necessarily have a bishop that's going to let us publicly show him going, right? You also don't have a diocese where humans are outnumbered by cows by over 2.5. That's a true stat. Humans are outnumbered by cows by over 2.5. Our diocese is in the state also where we are the largest microbrew per capita, right? We have the most microbrews per capita in the state of Montana. Those things tell the story of who you are. What makes your diocese different from other dioceses? You can't tell our story. While we're all Catholic, certainly, we can tell that story. And we should tell that story. Because that's the story of salvation. But the way you tell that story has to speak the right language to the people that you are ministering to, but also the people you are asking money from. Granting organizations want to know what makes your diocese different. Who are you? So you need to think of things like Catholic schools, homes for children and aged, food pantries, homeless shelters, anything that a parish is doing in your diocese is doing. Okay? So just because it's not necessarily a ministry straight out of the pastoral center, it is a ministry of your diocese because it's a ministry of one of the parishes in your diocese. Tell that story. But you also need to think of those secular things. What are the cultures of the people of your diocese? We have multiple Native American reservations in our diocese. A large population of Native Americans. And multiple tribes on each of those reservations. And so we tell that story of how it is that that culture of people come to know Christ through the church and the ministries of the church. But also regional holidays or landmarks or ways of making a living. Again, you can't be something else. You must be who you are. If I tried to show a video to a bunch of men who are discerning the permanent diaconate, if I showed them the wonderfully put together video for deacons from the Archdiocese of LA and said, here's what deacons do. Yeah, that's what deacons do in the Archdiocese of L.A. How many of those deacons are preg testing a cow in the middle of winter? Probably zero, right? How many of them are riding around in a combine this time of year? Probably zero. So you have to be whoever you are, whatever your diocese is that makes it special, you have to be that. And now we finally have gotten to the Lamb. Here we are. I'm not even sure what to say about this, right? Because talk about smelling like the sheep. Bishop went a little too far, right? But this will speak to our people very deeply. This is going to be the theme of our appeal-ish this coming year. Is feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Because we do have sheep farmers. This is in our diocese. And even when we went there, the sheep are imperfect. For those of you who don't know how you brand a sheep, it's not like branding a cow where you heat something up and press it on them. That would burn all that wool and that would be a mess. You spray paint the sheep. You spray paint the number of the sheep on the side of the sheep. And when we went there, the homeowner, the ranch owner, was like, oh, all of our sheep are spray painted. No. That's good because that's an authentic picture. That's authentic. That shows that we're not being something we're not. We're being who we are. And that's ranchers of Eastern Montana.
And again, I think we're right against our time, aren't we? We're real close. Yep. So maybe we'll just bump to, again, just build, my advice is build a good relationship with your bishop. Let's bump to that. Be honest. And this is the most important one. Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
So, and leaving room for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit really has worked for us in ways that are just, there's no way that it's anything other than the Holy Spirit. So as we wrap all of this up, our biggest message really is utilize the team that you have and the resources that you already have. Like really re-look at those things and examine them. Reframe those challenges that you think are insurmountable, that are different, that make you different from the Archdiocese of St. Louis or Detroit or whatever, because you're the Diocese of Baker or the Diocese of Lexington or Helena or Great Falls Billings in Montana. And really what we're wanting to challenge you with is just to really embrace those llamas. Embrace them. Be glad for the llama sweaters and the purple tinted video and just continue to work on your way to holding the lambs. It's a completely different thing than where we were 3 years ago. But in another 3 years, I can't wait to look back. Even last year's video, Thomas is like, man, I can't believe we were proud of that video. And I'm like, I love that video. We even won an award for that video. So you just got to embrace those llamas, those challenges, on your way to holding the lambs. So.
Okay, we'll take some questions for our wonderful speakers. Lots of creative. Okay, the question is, how did you present your videos?
So, our videos get presented in various ways, or they might not get presented at all. So we know that not everybody has the equipment in their church. Some of them have just used audio instead. Some have played part of the video, some have played the whole video. But the other thing that we do is we try to share that out on social media. We share that on YouTube. And then we have weekly bulletin announcements that we put out during the appeal that direct people back to those resources so that if they're not watching it in the church, they can still find that video and watch it.
Do you just give it to them in a link, or do you give them a USB drive when you get it? Link? Okay. All right. Yes.
How do you prevent burnout? We're a small shop, and I feel like, you know, you're running out and doing videos while also, you know, posting more on stewardship. And I get it. I love it. I feel like, what is your tips on how to reduce that level of stress and say, I have to do all of these things because I'm only two people?
Okay. I'm repeating the questions for its recording. The question is, how do you prevent burnout and the stress of being a small office?
So I don't know what Becky would say, but my immediate response is having a trusted person in the office that when that burnout does show up or that frustration does show up and that little stress pressure valve goes off, that there's somebody safe to be able to just say, look, my pressure is there. And I don't have energy right now, or I'm angry, or whatever. And to have a trusted sounding board, build a relationship within the pastoral center that's a safe space to do that kind of thing. As long as you're not just being a jerk and walking around mad all the time, right? but also, I'm a severe introvert. You would be shocked to learn that. And so I'm trying to decide if I even want to go to lunch so that I can go be alone for a little bit. But finding the people that you can connect with out in the field, out in the parishes that, yeah, man, I've got to run all the way to Malta, which is 4.5 hours. And do I really want to run out there whenever I've got 1,800 other things to do? Well, if I go out there, I get to see so-and-so. I get to see Father. I get to see Brenda. And I can pull some energy from that. It's a shift of your mind of, instead of I have to go do this task, the task becomes secondary because I get to go and minister to somebody. I get to be with somebody and they can feed me without them realizing they're feeding me.
Small bites. I want to do everything. I do. I just want to jump in the way deep end, and I do. And so oftentimes I look actually to both of these two who have to temper me, and they are like, okay, whoa, Becky. We can't do all of that in 1 year. He's not lying. It was probably a week for a video. I don't always have realistic expectations. And so oftentimes, I just have to remember, okay, so what are the three major things that I'm working on? What are my three major goals? And I have to let some of the rest of that slide. And so I just keep those on deck for the next year. So oftentimes I'm in the middle of the current appeal and I'm already creating ideas for the next year. Luckily I have a really supportive relationships, and our bishop really does. I mean, one of his strong talents is that he's so pastoral. So he's always looking out for us, and he's always just like, wait a minute, I don't think I've seen you take a day off. And so you have to take a day off. Like, you just have to. And so I think that is a big thing for me.
What month do you introduce your campaign?
So that was another big change that we made when we went from Care and Share to our annual Catholic Appeal. In the past, it went from March to February every year. Now, talk about an accounting nightmare because you're going from one fiscal year to the next. You're also going from one calendar year to the next, but also donor fatigue. The fatigue of hearing about it all the time, and there never was an end, and there never really was a start, and everybody just always felt like we were asking for money. So when we started the annual Catholic Appeal, we still tried to start it in March. It didn't end up working out well for us. I got yelled at by a lot of people because it was falling in line with the scrutinies. And so what we ended up doing is we start now the first weekend of February. And it runs for 16 weeks. We do a first ask, that commitment weekend, and then 6 weeks later we do a second commitment weekend. But we've made the commitment that we're just going to end it at 16 weeks and not ask people year round. We collect money year round, and we do send out nice little touches that are non-asks, but often remind people of the appeal. And then one other thing that we ended up starting to add is we started adding, because telling the story is so important, and we weren't doing a good job of that. So we started adding a ACA-supported ministry logo, and we're starting to use those more often so that people are still hearing about it, but the actual active asks are all within that 16 weeks. Well, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Thomas. And thank you, Peg. If you wouldn't, please make sure you fill out your evaluations. I believe you can access those through the WOVA app. Thank you.